Well, good morning, everyone. It is exciting to me to be here and to be able to share the word with you. God has put something on my mind, my heart to share. But before we go into that, I'd just like to speak a little bit or honor a few people and everybody here that makes a worship service like this happen pays a price for it. They pay a sacrifice. Especially, I would like to the worship team lift them up or point them out or whatever we want to say. They're here at 7:30 in the morning every Sunday. They're here Tuesday nights for practice. And then there's hours that at home they practice. And so they make their price that they pay makes things happen. Then there's kids' church and there's ushers and there's the sound and there's many other people who pay a price so that what we experience on a Sunday morning here is possible. And so I would just like for us to know and to remember that for us to be able to sit and enjoy a good worship service Sunday morning, somebody has paid a price for that. And I just want to acknowledge that and honor that. So let's give the worship team a hand of a thank you for sacrificing. And today it was this worship team, next time it's others, and next time it's maybe you. You're an usher, you're doing something. We all pay a price at some point in time or another, and that's wonderful. Jesus calls us to bring the sacrifice of praise to the house of the Lord. And we all have something to offer, a sacrifice. So, the topic for today is proud to be humble. I want to talk a bit about humility. Proud to be humble is a bit of an interesting title, isn't it? You are proud to be humble. Well, can you actually say that? It's on purpose to put that there, and hopefully it rises some expectations or a curiosity inside of you. Humility is an interesting thing. If I ask you, are you humble? What would you say? Yes? Or, I don't know. We don't want to answer, because as soon as you say yes, then, well, maybe you're proud already. If I say, are you proud? Oh, no, we definitely are not proud. Nobody wants to be proud. Pride is definitely, we all know, it's not godly, so we're never proud. So it's a bit of an interesting topic to talk about. Humility, like, who's Kobe to think that he can speak? Is he humble, like, that he has authority to speak on this? Well, maybe. But maybe I'm proud by saying that already. And so really today that doesn't matter. We'll leave that aside. Somebody needs to talk about it. And Pastor Irvin doesn't want to, so then I will do it. I'll do the dirty job for him. Pastor Abe was here the first service. He is not here now. So what they say, when the cat's out of the house, the mice dance. So we could probably kind of do what we want, right? Well, Pastor Irvin is here. He's the police. If you have a Bible with you, turn with me to James chapter 4. On your phone, on your Bible, wherever you are. You should highlight that verse. And then also to 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to have a few verses this morning. We're talking about humility, and I want to try to point out what is humility. And then the opposite is the pride. And it's interesting how the Bible has a number of verses pointing both of them out in the same verse. We'll look at them a little bit. James chapter 4, verses 6. But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Interesting, right? Opposition and grace. 1 Peter 5, very similar statement. Very similar, just adding to that a bit. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 and 6 says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. We all would like to be exalted, right? We like kind of to be lifted up. Sometimes I have to do it myself because nobody else does. Anyways, but it says God will do it. If we humble ourselves, God will do it in due time. Due time could be also highlighted and circled and underlined, and I don't know what else. It's kind of an important part of that verse. But God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. Resisting. Nobody here wants to be resisted, right? I don't like to resist you, and you don't want me to resist. And it says God resists. But as soon as you have pride in you, just know that God is already resisting you. You don't want to fight with God. You don't want Him resisting you. I don't care how strong you are, how strong-willed you are, or how good you are. You don't want God to resist you, because when you do, you have lost the battle before you start. God is resisting the proud, and He gives grace to the humble. Interesting, right, that he gives grace to the humble. Grace is basically the power that Jesus gives you to fulfill what He's called you to do. So, if you are a mother, then God is giving you everything you need to be the good mother. If you are a teacher, or an electrician, or a plumber, or whatever it is that God has called you to be, God has given you the grace, the provision to fulfill what He has called you to do. So if He gives grace to the humble, then humble, humility, is a condition of your heart in order to receive that grace. And we all want to receive grace. We want to be humble. We really want to be humble. Let's look at a few definitions. Let's first see what humble is. What is humility? If I would ask you, what is humility? Can you explain to me what is humility? We would probably have 100 different thoughts about that. And I think there is not one version, right or wrong or whatever. Figured I would ask Google. Google knows everything, right? And he is always right. So I figured we'll just start there. Google says that it's a quality of having the modest view of one's value and importance. Like, are you important? What is modest view anyway? My modest view and your modest view is probably a little different. Well, that's what Google thinks. But I think a little bit better of a definition is the Holman's Bible Dictionary. It says, a personal quality in which an individual shows dependence on God and respect for other people. Dependence on God. I think that's a key word there, dependence on God. If we can show or have an attitude of dependence on God, therein lies a lot of that humility part. I asked a few people yesterday, is like, where is the line between humble and proud? Where is that crossing line? I think if we knew that, we would all be humble all the time. And it looks different for me than for you. And so it's an interesting thing that humility, I feel it's an attitude of heart. I might be able to do the same thing that you are doing, the same actions. I might sing on the stage, and Clara sings here. Both sing in the worship team, right? But one could be proud and the other one humble. It's not the action that we do, but it's what is in the heart and the attitude why you're doing it, and how you view yourself. True humility is born out of an awareness of God's greatness. I could do all kinds of things. If I do it out of my own strength, then I'm independent. And all of a sudden, I decide I don't need God. I can do it myself. And as soon as I step away from needing God, I have stepped into pride. And so it's an interesting thing, but we need to stick with this a little bit further. I'll point out humility. The next slide is, humility isn't feeling sorry for yourself. It's thinking of yourself little or insignificant or demeaning yourself, any of those kind of, it's not that. We will talk about that a bit more. But the truth of God's grace humbles a man without degrading him and exalts a man without inflating him. God's truth, God's view of you, God's word over you, that has the grace, or that humbles you without deflating you. Most of us, we've learned to deflate ourselves and somehow think that that is humble. Many of us have grown up in circles where we cannot acknowledge that I'm awesome, that I'm great. We simply can't do that, because as soon as I do that, oh, then I might be proud, and I don't want to be that, so then I lower me, I degrade me, I kind of just talk me down. On the opposite side, if I really think I am somebody, I might become arrogant. We all have met that person, we know somebody who's already come from where we want to go. They've been there, they bought the t-shirt, and I want to go there. Every single time you talk about something, they've been there, done that, right? I know some people like that. I call them, they walk with their nose up in the air, and I try to tell them, just be careful, don't let the rain come into your nose, because you're walking so highly. Humility, and this is the best definition that I like. It's humility is viewing yourself the way God sees you, not higher, not lower. That part is like, if I see myself the way God sees me, that is kind of the standard. Not higher nor lower. But because we are so careful and so worried that we will get higher, we have to tell us we are lower. Somehow we downgrade ourselves. But that is not humility. Me downgrading myself, mocking me telling me how lowly and meek I am and how unworthy and all those kind of things, that is false humility. It appears like humility, but it's pride. The root of false humility is pride. It's a false appearance. You might come to church, dress up nicely, but it appears to be you're humble and doing right things. It could all be sitting in false humility. So it's a very interesting fine line. I can't judge you on that. I can't necessarily tell you. I can see your actions and I can judge your actions, but the motive of your heart is not for me to judge. Only God has the right to judge a person's motives. As soon as I judge your motives and tell you what you are or why you're doing things, I basically put God aside and says, hey, let me sit on this judgment seat. I will know better than you. I don't have a right for that. I shouldn't. So view yourself the way God sees you, not lower nor higher. Religion has taught us many times to knock ourselves down. We insult ourselves and think somehow that that looks better. Humility is being secure enough in your ability, in who you are, to not feel you have to prove your worth to anybody. Have you ever met somebody who feels that they have to talk about their worth, what they all have accomplished, about themselves? They tell stories about themselves a lot. They somehow need to prove their worth to you because they see very little of themselves, and somehow if they muster up and blow it up a little bit, somehow you will think a little higher of them. But if I am truly humble, then I have no need for that. Then I can walk confidently. You can like me or not like me. It doesn't really matter. What you think or believe doesn't really matter then. If I'm confident, if I'm truly seeing me in God's level, the way God sees me, then that doesn't matter anymore. People can, and I have experienced this multiple times. I remember a few years ago, I walked into a committee, and they put me in as a leadership team, and I was somehow a threat to them. They felt that if Kobe is here, somehow this is not going to work well. And they felt insecure, and they had to now start walking about top of me. They saying bad things about me. They made things up just somehow to make me look worse than I really was. Because somehow they felt insecure. So if I come in and you were here, I would all of a sudden step on them or become better than them. They have to now somehow step on top of me so that they stay on top. If you know what I mean? It is an insecure person who normally will do that. And confidence to an insecure person always looks like arrogance or pride. I might be totally confident, totally humble, doing my thing, believing in who God says I am, walking and talking and acting like believing that God made me great and I'm awesome and all of those things. But if you are insecure about yourself and I come in your circle, you will think that I'm proud and arrogant and all those things. And it might not be true. So don't judge yourself based on what other people, where they put you in. God has a standard for you. Ask God what he thinks about you. Have you ever done that? Ask the Holy Spirit, what do you think about me? And listen. Just be listening. He will tell you amazing things of what he thinks about you. Jesus is our best example of humility. We find Matthew 11, verse 29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Like, who's saying that? Would you say that? Like, look at me and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble. There are some versions we talk about, I'm meek in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. Jesus is our example. He has the standard. And we want to become more and more like Jesus. And that's the whole point. The Holy Spirit's job is to make you look more and more like Jesus every day. And so we want to get there. Philippians 2 verse 8 says, do nothing with selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility consider one himself more, consider one another as more important than yourself. With humility. We, in religion in itself, does that. There does make you want to somehow look lower than you are. It says, with humility consider another higher than yourself. Well, how do we do that? Do I have to downgrade me in order to somehow make you look better than me? Again, it is a motive of heart, and it is what we, how we say it, how we live it. It comes down to the heart. But we have a Bible verse that talks about that the sword is a double-edged sword, right? It cuts and divides between the motives of our hearts, intentions, bone and marrow and all that. God and the Holy Spirit, he knows your intentions. He knows your heart. You might not be able to fully express it the way it's in your heart. Because there's life, there's all kinds of stuff that has happened in your life that sometimes it's hard for us to think. That's why we work and listen to the Holy Spirit. Yesterday somebody says, I would love to be closer to God, have a better relationship with God, but it seems like I can't. It's not working. And I've had many people come to me and say that. Well, I think there's one answer to that, and it's simple. If you want to get drink from the river of life, you have to get to the river of life. If you want to drink from the river of life, you'll have to somehow get into it. Well, if Jesus is the river of life, well, then you will have to get close to him in order to get from this river of life. Kind of simple. We make it hard. We go to church, we serve here, we do these good things, we volunteer, we try to do all these good things and somehow feel that we have with that. They're all good. Ephesians 2 verse 9 and 10 talks about that we are saved by grace, not our works, but to do good works. Again, it's the motivation in our heart. And this false humility is a part of our heart, and it's part of our self-esteem, of our identity in Christ. And religion is a twisted thing. It has twisted everything that God has made. Let's look a little bit at false humility. False humility is rooted in pride, as we all know by now. Let's take a little look at pride. The P and the R says a personal reputation. Pride in itself is always concerned about what other people might think about me. Pride is very concerned about our personal reputation. We always want to keep it up. And if somebody says something negative about you or bad, we instantly go in defense mode and we have to defend that's wrong. I defend myself because that was wrong. They are lying. And we all of a sudden have a big war happening. Personal reputation. If you are humble and if you are, let God defend you, he will defend the truth already. I walked into a situation like that a few years ago, and instantly I tried, like, oh, I have to defend myself. And I explained me with all kinds of I am here, I have these experiences, and I have all of this reputation and so on. I'm like, all of a sudden God says, why are you defending yourself? Let me do that for you. So I became quiet. I'm like, okay, I've said enough. Lord, you will defend me wherever that is. The truth will stand. So pride is concerned about personal reputation. The I is in the middle of pride. It's all about me. When you start talking and hearing or conversations and somebody is just talking about themselves a lot, you can probably know there's something. Either so low self-esteem, the low self-worth, because you have to somehow puff yourself up, somehow talk about me all a lot so that you might think of something. It's about me. What did you do to me? And then the D and E for pride is devalued estimation. That's where false humility comes in a lot, is we devalue who we are. If Jesus says you are great, then all of a sudden I'm not worthy. All of a sudden I can't do this. I don't have enough education. I'm not as good as you. We compare each other. And that all adds up, and especially if you do that somehow to somehow gain some attention. When I compliment you and you say, oh no. And this happens a lot, is in the circles where I grew up in, if somebody did a good job, they sang a song amazing, they played the instrument well, and it was just like awesome. And I go to them and says, you did an awesome job. So many times, they would say, oh no, it wasn't me. They would just like, no, that was all Jesus, it's all Jesus, like, not me. It never sat with me until one day I just realized that's false humility. God has made you great. He has made me to want to thank you and recognize for your greatness. Why is it that when somebody does something amazing, people want to say thank you to you? God has made us that way. But when you cannot accept that, that means either your self-worth is very low and you just can't accept love. Or you're afraid that, oh, I will get puffed up. No. Many times it is training. We've been taught to say, oh, no, it's not me. It's all Jesus. Many times I feel like saying, well, what are you doing on stage then? Get down there and let Jesus sing. If it's not you, then what are you doing here? Just get out of the way already. You trained. You practiced. God gave you a good voice. You spent hours preparing, and you did an amazing job. If you are not part of it, then I don't know what. You are awesome. God made you for greatness. Believe it already, and start acting and walking and talking like it. Not arrogance and puffed up. We don't want your nose in the air, like up there. We want you to walk nicely, shoulders back, confident in who you are. We want you, because I depend on you. Your giftness, your greatness, I need that. You need my greatness. We are a community. We are a family. We need each other. And when you downgrade yourself, when you say, oh, I can't do this, oh, I'm not good enough, I'm just in humbleness and in meekness, I'm trying to do something. And once you start talking like that, I feel like doing this to you. Maybe a fivefold ministry. I don't know. There's something that comes over me when that happens. And I have to humble. So when you compare yourself to others and I'm not good enough, many times that is hidden in false humility. We have an intention. We subconsciously do this where we seek attention. And then we downgrade ourselves so that you hopefully will lift me up a bit. And we do that. Sometimes I lift myself up because, yeah, you're not doing that, so I have to pat myself on the shoulder, you know? But the attitude in the heart, when you look to others and you're just avoiding difficult things, sometimes avoidance is also low self-worth. Your self-esteem, your worth and identity in Christ, and that whole humility, they walk so hand in hand. If you have a low self-worth about yourself, it's very hard for you to walk in your true humbleness, your true humbleness, not the false humility. It's hard. And so I pray that you will find your true identity and God will grow you to know exactly who you are and walk in it. And then when we seek praise. So we'll invite the worship team up. I'll skip a number of my notes here, but now that we know a little bit what true humility is and what false humility is, I am convinced that the Holy Spirit has shown you already. We all struggle with false humility from time to time. As long as there is a devil loose to lie to you, we will struggle with that. Because he hates when we know who we truly are. And so he will lie to you to make you feel and think and believe that you're not what you truly are. The church has done an amazing job to take our greatness away. Because we don't want to appear proudful, so we are humble now by lowering ourselves to the point where all of a sudden we are lower than the devil. And everything is just the devil here, the devil opposes me here. That is also a pride thing. And so, how do we become humble then? Well, quickly, a few things. We read 1 Peter 5 and 6, and the last part says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. If you try to exalt yourself ahead of time, that's a sign of pride. Because you can't trust God to do it for you, so you have to somehow do it out of your own work. So humble yourself is your job. It's not God's job. He doesn't want to humble you. It's not pretty if God has to humble you. He will do it if you don't do it yourself, because he wants to save you. He wants to have you at the right place. Pride out of season, out of character, destroys a lot of God's kingdom. Churches are destroyed. His ministry is destroyed. A lot of God's kingdom is destroyed because of lack of humility, either pride or out of character things. And we try to do things. So just be thankful. Be thankful. Thankfulness stops pride from growing. You can't complain and be grateful in the same sentence, at the same time. We have to recognize that I am depending on a higher power. I'm depending on God for anything good that I do. Because me in myself, I'm amazing, but I'm just bringing me. But if I can partner with God, then there's no limit what me and God together can do. And so be thankful, recognizing that I'm awesome, but with God, I'm super awesome. I have prayed a lot asking God, please keep me humble. Please help me to humble myself. Out of my own, I don't even know how to humble me. There is nothing inside of me that wants to be humble. I'm born like the pride thing. It's a fleshly nature inside of me. I have to humble myself, but how do I do this? Many times I've asked God, please, I don't even know how to humble myself. Just help me. And I think just simply asking God, he wants to help you. The Holy Spirit is there to help you. So simply ask. And then one of the best things that I find is fasting. You are saying no to your flesh when you are fasting. Fasting is a godly thing. Not to twist God's arm so that he does what you want. Fasting is you weakening, breaking your flesh so that God's power, God's presence can become bigger. You become smaller. My desires. It's hard to fast. Have you ever fasted? Say no to things like food? My body screams and says, give me food. I need food now. And then you say, that's where you like, you're not the boss anymore. God gets my attention. Or maybe it's the social media thing. I know that we're all guilty of that, especially here, mostly, and there also too. They're humble. They wouldn't admit that. But we do a lot of scrolling. Maybe we need to fast from that for a bit. Just get yourself a flip phone. Even Carlos caved. Got himself a smartphone. So we fast somewhere, something. Tell your flesh, your habits, something that we give God the attention. Just be to break my desires. How do we keep humble? Holy Spirit knows you. I'm not here to tell you what to do, but I want to encourage us to become aware of what is true humility. How do we stand in relation to God's image over you? What is God saying who you are? And that's my desire today, that you will learn to see you the way God sees you, and then fully believe it and act on it and talk like it. Walk in that humility. Not being afraid what others might think. Ask the Holy Spirit. He will help you. What do you think of me today? He will tell you. He would be happy to tell you what he thinks of you. Then we believe it. Do we really believe it? Like, I've been challenged lately, especially in the area of getting a word for somebody in the gift of prophecy. I'm like, do I really believe that God speaks to me? I'm like, oh, I don't hear God. Oh, I'm not having the gift of prophecy. False humility right there. We tend to live in that. It's so subtle. It's twisted. It's just a little twisted. And so maybe God has talked to you, and we can all together learn what's real humility, what is God's view of you, and walking like that. Let's all stand to our feet, and let's ask the Holy Spirit what he thinks about us and where do we live in false humility. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for being the best example that we can have. We can look at you. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for working hard, making us like the image of Christ. Holy Spirit, I ask that you speak to us here today in showing us where we still walk in pride, where false humility is appearing. It looks good and it looks right, but the attitude behind it is false. It's selfish. It is full of pride. God, you say that a broken and contrite spirit is what you love and long for. And I pray right here that today you show us, and then you show us what we can do, how we repent, how we humble ourselves before you, recognizing, God, we need you. We need you with everything that we have. Father, bless everyone here today in their humility. I bless them in their identity in Christ. I bless them in their self-worth and self-image, that we have a proper way of looking at ourselves the way you see us. Open our eyes, God. Where we believe lies, Father, we break those lies. Give us the truth of what you think of us. Lord, give us one area in our life that we can improve today. Thank you, Jesus, for helping us. In Jesus' name, amen.